It's also called Holy Thursday. It's not a familiar term, I've learned. Some of you have asked me, well, what does that mean? Mackenzie shared with us one evening that one of her friends at school, who's Catholic, said, what is that? We don't do that. Mackenzie said, yes, you do. Well, a few days later, her friend came back and she said, oh yeah, we do that. We call it Holy Thursday. So what is it, after all? Well, the name is taken from the Latin words, mandatum novum, found in John's Gospel, the 13th chapter and the 34th verse, which in English is translated a new command Jesus gave to us. It also recalls for us Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, and it marks for us that institution of Jesus giving to us the Lord's Supper following that act of foot washing. And in history, the Council of Hippo, 393 AD, established its celebration for the church, that it would be an observance of the church. We come to remember a servant Savior who gave us a meal by which we can remember him. We pick up the story that unfolds on this evening in the 13th chapter of John. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Let me invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. John 13, beginning at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing what his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew that the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken their garments and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. This is the word of the Lord, and you may be seated. Our Savior is a servant who models how to be a servant to his followers. Jesus washes the disciples' feet as a humble act of service. So he washes the feet of the disciples. And as Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, he is teaching through example that we are to serve one another. These men had gathered in this upper room, and it's very customary for somebody to be there to wash feet, and nobody had done that. And one of the things that Jesus is doing as Jesus is the one who does this, is he's modeling that it's okay to serve those who are, for lack of a better word, lower than we are. Maybe socially they don't seem to fit, or in life things just don't add up, or a variety of different ways. And so it's a difficult situation. Maybe your ranking in a place in life seems to be higher than theirs, but it's okay for you to come and serve them. Think about these examples. Jesus washed the feet of the one who would betray him. Wow. Jesus at the feet of Judas. Knowing what Jesus was going to do, after all, he's already said, not all of you are clean. And he washes his feet anyway. Or that he would wash the feet of the one who would deny him. Yeah, the one who didn't want him to wash his feet, and then says with his typical exuberance, well, wash my head and my hands too. And there he knelt at the feet of Peter, who would deny him. Not once, not twice, three times. And he washed the feet of the ones who would abandon him. Gone. Fled. Fearful for their own lives. But Jesus served them. He shows us we are to serve all people. We are to serve people who do not love the Lord, who do not follow him, who may not even give him any regard or any care or any thought. It's amazing, isn't it? Easter is almost upon us. And as I sat in the barber chair yesterday, the lady cutting my hair said, "So what are you doing for Easter?" I said, "Going to church." Oh, as if that thought had not crossed her mind at all. Jesus came to serve Beth. And we can as well. We are to humble ourselves in order that we will serve others. We have the example of Jesus. It's always good when we're trying to do certain things to have an example. To be a good example. I remember writing, I'm just old enough that we still called it penmanship, and you got a grade for it in school. And I remember those teachers writing, and then having to practice that at home. And the catch was when I got home, there was still a school teacher there who taught first grade. About half of her 40 years in school. And so she knew very much how to teach, how to write. And so I would learn, no, that's not how you do it. You do it like this. But that example, and it's paid off because I can still write handwritten notes and people can actually read them. And because I've worked with people who can't do that. And so anyway, but to have that example to follow. We have an example of what it's like to be a servant, for we have a Savior who came and served us. He served you. And this example that Jesus gives us, it's a powerful example because it's the job of a slave. Foot washing was most of the time in most households the job of a slave. And not only that, it was, if you had a Jewish slave and a Gentile slave, it was always the job of the Gentile slave, never the job of the Jewish slave. The Jewish, they just wouldn't ask a fellow Jew to do that. And those who would wash feet was pretty limited. For instance, a wife wouldn't wash the feet of her husband, but it was an act of devotion to him. Children would wash the feet of their father. Disciples for their master. But it was an act of devotion. But yet, here we have the Messiah. Gets his towel and a pitcher. And begins to go around the table. Most of them were reclined at the table anyway. They weren't sitting up in a chair like we were. Like we would. And so they were reclined. Their feet were there. And they probably all were watching. What's he doing? And he takes his towel and he takes his bowl of water and he goes around one by one. Those disciples that after this, we never hear of them again. Except for their names being scribbled on a piece of papyrus a long time ago by the gospel writers. Other than that, we might never know their names. He washed their feet. That one who would betray him. The one who would deny him. The one that he loved. He washed their feet. Really a dirty, stinky, nasty job. And Jesus, the Son of God. The one that even Peter had said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Gets on his knees with his wash basin and his towel to serve the disciples. To give them such a gracious act to give to them. But the scripture tells us that we are not greater than our Lord, our Master, our King, and we can serve others just as He did. The missionary leader in Beirut, Lebanon, in the 1980s, led his team back into Beirut following a time when they had to evacuate because of war and battles that were going on. And when they returned to the mission outpost, it was in a shambles. It was a mess. It was dirty. It was filthy. It was nasty. And a young missionary asked the missionary leader, what do we do? And the leader of the mission team rolled up his sleeves, gathered his cleaning supplies, and began to wash the toilets, the nastiest places there. And said and taught to that young mission leader, we just start cleaning up the dirty places. And we care for other people. We're not greater than our master. We can serve. And then the text says, we are blessed if we do what we know to do. Well, that's a catch, isn't it? We're blessed if we do what we know to do. I imagine all of us could tell stories of things that we know better than we actually do. Because we know something doesn't mean that we do it. Paul stated that challenge for us in his writings of what he wished to do, he did not do, and what he wished he would not do is the very things that he would do. And Jesus said, we are blessed if we do these things that we know to do, if we serve, if we humble ourselves to give ourselves to others. If we lower ourselves, pick up a wash basin and a towel and go to work cleaning. It's hard. It's not our nature. In many regards, we just seen somebody else serve us. Don't you think it would have felt good for Jesus, especially since we know where he was going, for somebody one last time to have washed his feet? But that had already been done. Mary washed his feet. So he washed theirs. It's hard to be a servant, to take those jobs that maybe aren't as appealing or as nice, or and say, you know, I'll do this. I struggle. Several years ago on a mission trip, we were working on a construction project and we're building, and there were guys there that knew a good bit about building and how to build, and I knew what I could do it if they'd tell me what needed to be done. But there were some other jobs that needed to be done. One of those was, this new building was going to connect to an old building through a doorway, but there was concrete just inside that doorway that needed to be removed. Jackhammered out. There's a lot of concrete dust in that little bitty enclosure, and it was out of the wind, and it was hot, and my body shook with a jackhammer. My clothes were covered, and my face, the dust would stick to my face with the sweat that was there. And quite honestly, I'd rather been outside assembling the building it, putting it together. And my body was in the right place. It was a job I could do, and others who were doing those other jobs needed to do them because they possessed skills and knowledge and things I didn't necessarily have, and they needed to do them. And I was in the right place, but my spirit wasn't right. It's a challenge to be a servant. But yet Jesus took a towel, wrapped it around himself, poured his bowl of water, and washed the feet of his disciples. Our Savior is a servant who modeled how we can serve others. We need to be servants. Our Father, make us servants. Make us servants like our Savior, Jesus. And we would be willing to serve others just as he did. Father, we thank you that his service led him beyond that room with the disciples and beyond a wash basin and a towel and it led him to a cross. And he served us. And we thank you for that, Father. For his willingness to be that kind of a servant to us. Lord, as those of us who profess to be his followers, to say, yes, I follow Jesus in my actions, in my beliefs, in my behavior, would realize one of the great ways we demonstrate that is because we're willing to serve other people. May we be willing to humble ourselves just as our Savior did, that we may serve others. In Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.